This is the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. Here are your hosts, Justin Jarrett and Wes Kerr. Hey, Loco Sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. I'm Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr, and we're talking a little bit of sports here in the South Carolina Lowcountry. Got a little bit of everything on tap today, Wes, because we've got some football news as well as some basketball news to keep everyone up to date on, as well as wrestling season happening. And there's always recruiting news happening, it seems, across the board these days, which is a great thing. More and more kids from the Loco getting a chance to play at the next level, and even a little bit of weightlifting news in this holiday edition of the Lowdown. But first things first, Wes, let's check in. And as we mentioned, we're recording on Christmas Eve and trying to wrap some things up so we can get away and spend a little time with family. But how you doing over there, man? You poised to have a happy holiday?
Well, it's going to be a great Christmas here. And, just the record, as you mentioned, recording this on Christmas Eve and just making the final preparations for Santa's arrival tomorrow. Just getting all my gifts prepared. And we wish a Merry Christmas to all of you watching or listening here to this podcast. And I got a fun holiday helping of basketball this week at the Seahawk Holiday Classic. I was able to get out there and watch some great hoops. And, great to have it back last year after losing it in 2020 due to COVID-19. But wow, I got to see several ballers on display on both the girls' and the boys' sides, led by the outstanding Kiyomi McMiller on Trinity Collegiate, who proved why she's not just one of the best guards and the best players in South Carolina, but in my opinion, the best in the country. And she is highly, highly ranked out of the entire sophomore class in the United States. And she certainly proved that on the court with her stellar play, both shooting the three and scoring down low. How about Trinity Collegiate? The Titans sweep both the boys and the girls' brackets. So Skeets of 3A showing out against some strong competition from across the Southeast. So, it's going to be a great holiday season right here in the Lowcountry. And, it's going to be some nice weather all week long in the 70s. Certainly warmer than in other places or maybe what you would expect, but may have to put away the jackets and get the t-shirts this year for Christmas. It's going to be a warm one, which I don't mind, but a lot of people like a colder Christmas even here in the South, but going to be 70 degree days here over the holidays. And so that's going to be awesome. And it's going to heat up on the wrestling mat as well in Bluffton. We've got the Mary River Shark Invitational coming up. In just a couple of days, that's going to be an exciting event, and we'll get to that a little later on too. But how about the South Carolina State Bulldogs? I was able to catch a little bit of that celebration bowl where South Carolina was shocked Jackson State in the celebration bowl 31-10. What a shellacking by that group. And prime time, he was no match for the Bulldogs.
That's right. Prime time was not ready for Buddy Puff time. That was incredible, man. So impressive by the Bulldogs and, a couple of Loco guys on that team who didn't really get to play too much this year. Rakim White was injured, got off to a great start, and then the injuries caught up to him. But I saw a little screenshot of him on the sideline celebrating, so that was cool to see. And then Ian Shark also from Colleton County. So that was awesome, man. That was I was cheering them on all the way. And, Congressman Clyburn being down there as an honorary captain was really cool to see. And just a great thing for SC State. And, I think there's an opportunity for them really to make some inroads because, we talk a lot about how the smaller schools in South Carolina in football really don't recruit the state well at all. They overlook a lot of guys. So I think there's a great opportunity there for SC State to recruit some of those kind of overlooked guys who kind of slip through the cracks and are maybe marginal talent. And they've got a coaching staff there that obviously knows how to coach guys up. And they're getting a lot of talent from right here in the Palmetto State. It's great to see them have success and, start to rival some of those other programs on the smaller level that are having success. Coastal Carolina, obviously, really on the rise right now on a high note. But it's great to see some of these smaller schools stepping up, especially in a year when, our big Power Five schools were a little bit down this year. So it was nice to see them have success.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, Clemson certainly their first year not in the college football playoff in a while. So a down year by their standards. Coastal Carolina had a great year. They won their bowl game, but South Carolina, a little disappointing, but they picked up a dude in Spencer Rattler heading to the next year. But that's going to be exciting for Gamecock fans. But, you know, just so proud of what SC State has done in that coaching staff, being able to shock Jackson State and win that HBCU national championship, which is that's a huge honor, absolutely huge honor. And I expect them to continue to have the success going forward. I think they have the opportunity to cast a wide recruiting net based on the success and the coaching that they've established there. So I think it's going to be a bright future ahead for that South Carolina State football program.
Yeah, I love, too, that, you know, a couple guys from Baptist Hill, 1A school, right. That, you know, guys that didn't get recruited anywhere else, and they're making huge plays out there in the HBCU National Championship game. So just phenomenal stuff. Love to see that success for our HBCUs here in the Loco and in South Carolina. And let's keep it on the college football front for a little bit here, Wes, because Cole DeMarzo, it appears, is on the move. I did not see this coming because, you know, Cole, it was kind of his dream to play at Michigan State, and he got that opportunity. He lived it out. He got to put on the green and white and go out and suit up in Big Ten games, but looking for something else. He announced on Twitter that he's entering the transfer portal, and now we wait and see what is out there for Cole. I'm guessing, without having spoken to him, that it's just a matter of, you know, looking at the depth chart and seeing what opportunities were going to be there and realizing that, you know, there were going to be better chances to play somewhere else. So, you know, we'll see what happens here, but what do you think about this move, and were you surprised to see this?
You know, I thought there was a possibility that this could happen. You know, DeMarzo entering the transfer portal, and we've seen this time and time again in college football, especially over these last few weeks, with the extra year of eligibility, with the COVID situation, giving players a chance to really test the waters a little bit more and find the fit that is right for them. And they've been able to kind of have the luxury of doing that with that extra year. And, you know, he's not alone. You saw three Spartans entering the portal on the same day. And now the former Hilton Head Seahawk, an absolute standout back in the day at Hilton Head High not too long ago, showcased his terrific athleticism out there as defensive back and also as a linebacker, where he joined Michigan State in that position. And, of course, so difficult with all those players sticking around due to that extra COVID year as well. And, you know, maybe even harder for guys to see playing time. And you got all those super seniors, all those graduate transfers sometimes that come in. And now he'll get the chance to kind of look himself for a spot that fits him the best and where he could compete for a starting job quickly. So I'll definitely take a look at the depth chart, take a look at the coaching staff, find a spot which is the right fit for him. May not be the prestigious school, the most prestigious school, but I think he certainly has the tools to make a big impact to a solid Division I program. So I think he's really got that skill set. He's got that drive to make that happen. So I wish him the best of luck. I'm sure he'll find a great landing spot to continue his college career. He's certainly proved that he's talented, and I look forward to seeing where he ends up in his next chapter of his college football career.
And if you've seen any recent photos of him, you know that he has taken advantage of the opportunities provided to him at the Power 5 level, because that dude is jacked. He has gotten really big, really strong. You know, I think he's going to be an impact wherever he lands, because I would assume he's looking for a place where he can be an impact type player. So, you know, I think that's going to be a good thing for him. And I look forward to following his recruitment once again. It's going to be kind of fun to follow that another time, as well as his former teammate Christian Miller, also out there in the transfer portal. But we've got a landing spot for one of our high school stars who was still on the board, because DJ Aiken over at Bluffton has committed to Florida International. So we're going to keep the little Loco pipeline going down there to the Panthers, because Bryce Singleton will be cycling out, but DJ Aiken cycling in. And this is a guy that his recruitment was interesting, because he was kind of one of those guys who was hot just because of the size, you know, of the tangibles. And so he started to get some interest from some schools that were probably a little above his, you know, where he could punch comfortably, Tennessee's and things like that. And then it kind of came back down to earth. And I think, though, that Florida International is right at that level where he has an opportunity to, you know, maybe not play right away, but to be able to develop into the kind of guy who can be a real impact player, because he does have that size, that frame. You know, he's big and strong. I think it's just really about still learning the finer points of how to play the game and how to be a pass rusher. And I think that we saw him take some big steps this year. You know, he was a lot more disruptive this season, a lot more explosive, I thought, than he was a year ago. And I think that when he gets there, and just like you talk about with DeMarzo, and get on the training table, get on the, you know, the meals, and start to work with a position coach who really fine tunes his game and gets him down to the details of how to do it, I think he's got the potential to really develop into an outstanding college football player. And who knows where it goes from there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Just a phenomenal opportunity for DJ, and just so much fun to watch him develop and really grow, especially over those last 2 years at Bluffton High School. I thought he was phenomenal. His senior year had a terrific game, the one that really stands out in that victory over Thomas Hayward, where they shocked the skis of 1A state champs. But just so well-deserving for him to get this opportunity, and he's going to do some great things, I think, as an FIU Panther. And as you mentioned, following the footsteps of the Hilton Head High's Bryce Singleton, who I believe still has another year left at wide receiver. The website lists him as a redshirt junior, so it looks like he's going to be coming back for one more year.
I can't keep track of anyone's eligibility in the COVID era.
Yeah, that sixth-year super senior, going to be seeing a lot of those continue to show up. But, you know, so he'll be alongside Singleton for 1 year, DJ Aiken will. And Aiken, he comes in after a really standout senior season, I thought, on the defensive line, really explosive, big, strong. I loved watching his quickness over there, get into the backfield. You know, I wish the Shrine Bowl would have happened, because he was named to the Team South Carolina roster. Of course, it wasn't played due to COVID-19. They still released the rosters of who would have played. So just a big honor for him to be named to that list. But what a force he was on John Hopps' defense this past year. And 83 tackles, that's over 8 per game. Very impressive. I mean, including 23 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and recovered a fumble. So what an impact maker he was for Bluffton. And I think this is a phenomenal fit for him. You know, obviously he'll have some competition to earn that starting role. I mean, college football is extremely competitive now more than ever. But, you know, a team coming off a 1-11 season in 2021, you got to think he will get a shot under new head coach Mike McIntyre, who they just hired earlier this month. So a new coach coming in who has some local ties to the area and was born in Miami. His dad was an assistant with the Miami Hurricanes. Now Mike comes back from his role as defensive coordinator at Memphis, now over to Florida, so over to FIU. And I think DJ, you know, I think he'll work hard to find himself, to carve out a role in that program. So, you know, clearly he's working with an experienced coach, and I think it's an awesome decision for him to step into this a new look FIU program with some great potential, I think, going forward, and, you know, trying to make an impact down the road and really build the foundation freshman year, sophomore year, look to crack the lineup and look to make that impact as you go forward in your career there. So congratulations to DJ, so well-deserved, and we'll have another FIU Panther to keep an eye on here.
Yeah, good stuff. And we're going to have another high school football commitment coming down the road. Well, he has committed but has not signed yet, because he's still got some more interest. And our next guest will be able to help us sort out what's happening with Xavier Chaplin over at Whale Branch, because we're going to welcome in Carlos Cave, the athletic director at Whale Branch now. And Carlos, on the road for the holidays, but able to make a little bit of time for us. So we appreciate that, Coach. And how you doing over there, man? It's been a great year at Whale Branch.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Just out trying to finish up last minute Christmas gifts. this year, as we've experienced a lot of success and a lot of good things going on at Whale Branch.
Absolutely. And one of them, Xavier Chaplin, I was talking with you the other night about his recruitment, obviously committed to Virginia Tech a while back, but still getting some offers. And I understand even one of the college football playoff teams, and maybe even two of them, may be in on him.
Yes. Well, of course, right now, Virginia Tech and their new staff, the new head coach, and Coach Quinn, formerly of Savannah State, they are coming down to do an in-home visit with Xavier Louisville's offensive line coach has been down and did it in home, and he'll be traveling back down with head coach of Louisville. He has an offer there as well. The University of Florida wants to try to find a way to get him on campus. They have an interest, a very high interest in him, as well as University of Michigan. Michigan likes him as a defensive tackle, which is, you know, he has, it doesn't really matter to him, OL or DL, but they have interest in him as a D lineman. So we're trying to figure out a way to get him up to Ann Arbor for an official visit, because he's trying to crunch everything in. One of the potential hangups, even though he took an official to Virginia Tech, the new staff still wants to get him up there. I'm not sure what he's going to do, if he's going to go back for another official, because, you know, he's pretty much seen everything. It's just new coaching staff in place now. But he has several options right now. He's just trying to he's going to wait until signing day. At least that's what he told me, and then he'll finalize where he's going to go on the next signing period.
Well, fantastic. Certainly some outstanding options, including a couple, as you mentioned, schools in the college football playoff. And just tell me how impressed you are of how he has grown his game over these past few years, developed into a standout lineman on both sides of the ball.
Well, the biggest change with him this year is that he really embraced the leadership role. And there were games where, you know, we're a heavy run team, and there were games where he literally we had signals, hand signals, so he would signal to the sideline basically saying, run behind me, run, you know, run. It's kind of funny when he would make that gesture, because he would really be adamant about that if he felt like he was dominating his guy, or if we needed to pick up 1 or 2 yards, you know, in a short yardage situation. So that's probably been the biggest. And then defensively, he had a really big year. He was really tough to block. You know, he's really a man child in the fact that, shoes off, he measured 6'6" and a half. And he played this year 6'6" and a half and 365. Now, when I tell people 365, it's like, he doesn't really look it, because he's so wide and he's so thick, but he weighs 365. And to move as well as he does, he can dunk a basketball with two hands. And this is not a drop step dunk. This is driving to the basket, two hand dunk. That just speaks to his athleticism. So, he has a lot of upside. That's what fascinates a lot of the coaches that are recruiting him. I know the Louisville coach is a former NFL O-line guy, and that's one of the things that he's shared with our offensive line guy, that he sees a lot of potential in him if he continues to grow to have a chance next level, because of the immeasurables that he has. He has very long arms. You know, his reach is, you know, his, when he stands, he can almost touch his knees just standing. That's how long his arms are. So he's really a freakish guy for offensive lineman, and as well as a D lineman.
No kidding. I saw him run the break the other night. It's definitely freakish, but, let's talk a little bit about the realignment proposal from the high school league. Cause, you are involved, you know, in that process. And, I know there's some frustration with 1A and 2A in particular, with the private schools and charter schools, really populating those classifications and starting to dominate them in places. And I know that you and I talked briefly about that the other night, and what there is that can be done about that, because legislatively, the high school league's hands are tied a bit, I think is what you were describing to me.
Yes, I represent the Athletic Directors Association, and I'm the rep on the executive committee. And what I can share is that while the membership desires and has voted to do some things to try to balance and bring about equity, the educational proviso, which was put in place by the legislators, basically prohibits anything that we vote on as a body of schools to impact private and charter schools and what would be considered unfair or treating them other like member schools. So unless, and the only way that it could possibly happen is legislatures from the rural counties in 1A, 2A schools go and meet with their state reps and basically say, look, this is how we would like to see some type of modification, because the modification will have to take place there. Our hands literally are tied. I mean, there's nothing we can do. And unfortunately, the private and charter schools, which they're really dominating the 1A and 2A level. 3, 4, and 5 is really not an issue for them. But most of your private and charter schools are located in major cities. And when you have those, their locations allow them to have kids that have feeding into their programs that have unlimited resources, so to speak. You know, you can hire trainers. You can go and get batting instructions. You can hire a private golf coach. You can get a tennis pro to train you. And, you know, those are some of the things when you're talking about the Greenville, the Spartanburg, the Columbia, the Charleston area, where a lot of these private and charters are located that are in 1 and 2A. Those are advantages that they have. I mean, a kid from Allendale, a kid from Barnwell, from Wade Hampton, you know, those things aren't there. And then when you also add into the equation that in a lot of cases with the charters, they have open enrollment statewide. So that means that if a kid can get there, then under the current model, they would be eligible. So parents are finding a way to get their sons and daughters that are choosing to participate in the private and charter sector, get them to those schools. And you know, I want to be clear about the fact that as a parent, I don't have a problem with a parent trying to put their son or daughter in the best situation. And you have a lot of private and charter schools that have outstanding athletic programs as well as academically. I have zero problem with that. And you know, to each his own. And again, it's all about what doing what's best for the child. But where the inequities lies when you compare a situation where you can not only get a talented kid that's maybe zoned to go someplace else that may be a backup at a larger 3A, 4A school to come to a 1A, 2A school, and you can assemble several of those type kids that you know, are not quite starters at the larger schools but are still outstanding athletes, and you put them together, you know, it's, you have a leg up, you have an advantage. And where a lot of people are really up in an uproar about that, because you know, smaller schools and smaller counties, we have the kids that we have. We have the kids that are grown there, and we coach them up to the best of our ability. But when you take a kid that is coming from out of zone or coming from out of district to participate in athletics there, I mean, it's just an inherent disadvantage that you have versus other schools. And it shows. I mean, they're dominating the 1A, 2A landscape and championships. They either playing for it and winning it, or playing for it and they're state runner-up.
I mean, you're
so that's pretty much where we are. Yeah, I can use Well Branch as a perfect example. We lost the Gray Academy.
Yep.
The great charter school of Gray 3 years ago in 2A state championship in boys basketball. And then, you know, I'm talking to the high school league, and the comment is basically, well, you know, you guys, y'all, you can at least say you're the best public school basketball team. I mean, there's no award for that. You know, you're either the best or you're not. So we had to play Gray. You know, Gray had kids from here, there, and everywhere, and we had what we had. We had our local kids born and raised out in in our cluster, and that's what we went up there and tried to win it all with. So we've been on the end, short end of it, but there's a lot of schools that are, that are really fired up about and want to see something done, but it can only happen on the legislative level.
Yeah, it's tough. It's certainly a competitive advantage for those teams. And, you know, you look at what Gray Collegiate, Southside Christian have done and several sports, and including football this year. Let's talk about the effects of this proposed realignment for these schools here in the local. Obviously, the biggest factor being Beaufort High moving down from 4A to 3A. Just tell me, just go through what the proposed realignment is looking like for these local schools and the ramifications of those decisions, and tell me about the process of coming up with those decisions.
Well, the league put together a committee, and the committee set the parameters. As a membership, we voted to give for the high school league to do the realignment. So that was unanimous statewide by the membership. And then it came to us as executive committee, and we also gave them the green light to move forward with the realignment. They did receive feedback and guidance from the realignment committee. And basically what that realignment committee did was with 5A, they capped 5A at 36 plus or minus. So 5A could have been 32 teams or as large as 40 teams. But once the realignment was sent out, they capped it at 36. And really, that's where the dominoes started to fall, because once that was set, then that changed. You know, you pushed four schools down to 4A. And I'm not sure of what 4A's numbers. I think 4A's numbers may have been like 41, 42.
Yeah, 41.
And then 41. So, again, once you completed 4A, you're pushing – teams are being pushed down. So, Beaufort High would have been – had 5A went to 40, they probably would have got in and been one of the smallest 4A schools in that classification. But because schools started getting pushed down once the decision was made in 5A, as well as 1A, because 1A was the same. 1A was going to be 50 plus or minus. So it could have been 46, could have been 54. Now, there's a little caveat with 1A, because we actually got in as the last team because you had two schools in 1A that were considered at largest, which means that even though they've been assigned to a region, they're pretty much going to participate in sports where you can – those kids could qualify for state championships. And they don't offer the full gamut. So they'll have right. Some sports that they'll participate in region, and then other sports their kids will just participate as individuals, like in golf and tennis. Those individual sports where you can qualify as an individual, thus giving them that at large title. So between 1A and 5A, once those numbers were capped, you have in the middle. Kind of became a numbers and geography deal. I was surprised to see Beaufort High drop to 3A from 4, because I just felt like geographically it made sense for them to stay in the same 4A region. But when you look at it numerically, as well as taking in the geography into effect, their travel is really not impacted that tremendously. Because they were outside of the local travel. The travel that they have outside of the district really is not going to be that taxing on them. So
they already had a trip to Hilton Head, two to Bluffton, and two to Charleston, and now they have one to Battery Creek, one to Hanahan, and two to Charleston. So not too much difference.
No, not travel wise.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much from realignment. Yeah, well, for us, we'll
you pick up a couple natural rivals, you know, moving into that region with Bridges Prep and Estill and Royal Live Oak. I think that could be a good thing for you guys.
Well, yeah, the proximity of it, as far as their location as, you know, they were passing us to go to go play other schools. Yeah. So even last year, I thought that we were going to be placed in that region. But, I mean, everyone that we're in this new region, we, with the exception of Royal Live Oaks, we did play them in soccer last year. We've been actively participating against. I mean, we play us the regular season. We've been in the region with Bamberg and Allendale before. We play both of them. We've been playing both of them regular season. So it really isn't that big of a deal for us. The travel actually is better, obviously, with all of our games currently now.
I'm looking forward to seeing Whale Branch and Bamberg Earhart during the football season playing in the regular season each year. A great rivalry there in 1A football. Talk to me, going back to 4A, development over in the lower state as AC Flora moves down to the lower state from the upper state, kind of, which I think is a good balancer in 5A, because you look at like how good Region 6 has been, how kind of a little bit weaker Region 5 has been. I think it's a kind of a good balancing to put Flora there in 5. But tell me about your thoughts in terms of that middle ground between in the middle of the state in those regions like Region 4, Region 5, and these different classifications.
Well, I think that I first of all want to commend the high school league, because it's a challenging task to make sure you have the competitive balance there, as well as, again, taking numbers and geography into consideration. I know there are a couple of teams that have moved from upper to lower. I know you said AC Floor, also Civil Bluff, who just played great for the 2A state title. They're right now listed as a upper state team with this realignment proposal. So they may appeal to try to come back down to 2A. A couple of teams that are up may appeal to, you know, depending on where they've been placed, they may try to appeal to either come back down, or when I say come back down to lower state, or either to go back to the upper state. So I think they did a good job with that. The league did. I think they took all things into consideration. Again, we're working within the parameters set by the committee.
Yeah, Coach. Well, we appreciate you. Talk a little bit about that basketball team that you guys have out at Whale Branch. I know the girls are trying to kind of find their way right now, kind of short on guards, but the guys had a tough tournament up in Charleston this weekend, or up in Hemingway rather. But I think that was just tired legs. But I like that team you've got, and I really love Jim Raymond and you know, the motivator that he is for those guys.
Yeah, I think we're going to be fine once we get into region play. The good thing about these early games, you know, they're just an indicator of what you could be and shed light on what you need to fix. Currently, again, like you pointed out with the girls, I was just continuing to try to develop additional guards and strengthen guard play, because so many of the teams that we play in region, you know, we got a defending two-time state champion in our region. That's Military Magnet. The head coach at Military Magnet, who's my fraternity brother, you know, they're the two-time defending state champions in 1A. And they're watching us close, and it's going to come down to guard play. We've got to continue to try to strengthen that area on the girls' side. And then with the boys, you know, the good thing is you've got a lot of really long, rangy, athletic-type bodies. Bad thing is, when you're good at football, you get them late. So they're still trying to get their legs, get their basketball legs there. I think they're getting there. I think coming out of the break, going into January, we'll really kind of see what they're capable of becoming.
Well, we got a couple of Whale Branch Warriors showing out at the college and professional level. Nick Pringle has been shining over there at Dodge City, and he is committed to joined the Alabama Crimson Tide. Nate Oates, a great program there in the SEC. And then Dee Delaney, absolutely fantastic job he's doing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the Bucs are looking primed for a deep postseason run. Tell me about how proud you are of seeing those guys, seeing Nick Pringle show out at the college level and to see Dee Delaney playing on Sundays.
You know, I'm really happy for them because I've had the chance to see the behind the scenes. So I know how much and how hard these guys have worked. You know, it was nothing to see D every morning coming to school. He was out on the practice field by himself drilling. And he stayed true. He worked hard. He stays prayed up, man. He's a man of God. He prays regularly. Ends and ends with him and with Nick. Nick is one that, again, just hard work, humble young man, and really the sky's the limit with him. I'm really happy for this opportunity he's going to have to play in the SEC and play at Alabama. I think that the future is very, very bright for him. And, again, just examples for the kids in the Seabrook and Lobico and Dale area of guys that walked the same from the same community that it can be done. You got the Urban Mulligans. You got the Jaheim Hazels, the Yaris Hazel. I mean, we've got so many kids, Zonny Thomas that's playing college ball at CIU. We've got kids in college running track. We've got a ton of kids that, again, just exemplify, if you put the work in, stay true to the academic side, you're going to give yourself an opportunity. And as a school, because we've had so many kids to go on to the next level, recruiters come in. They come in and they always call, want to know who's the next one, who's the next Dee Delaney, who's the next Nick Pringle. They're constantly calling, who's the next Niles Pinckney. So we've been blessed, we've been fortunate, but, you know, I give a lot of credit to the coaches and just the kids buying in and working hard.
Absolutely, Coach. We love the way you run your program out there. Love to come cover games out there. One of my favorite places to come. Always feel welcomed and appreciated, and always a good product on the court and on the field too. So we appreciate you, and we appreciate you taking a little time on your holiday to chat with us and fill us in on the realignment process and Xavier's recruitment, man.
All right, no problem. Thank you anytime.
All right, Merry Christmas to you, Coach. We'll see you down the road.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you. Okay, thank you.
We'll be right back with more here on the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. Hey, Loco Sports fans, you know we're all about keeping it local, and that goes for pizza night, too. When you've got a craving for the best pie in town or the best-kept secret, their amazing mac and cheese, keep it local with Local Pie. They have two locations, on the Promenade in Bluffton and on New Orleans Road on Hilton Head Island, where they serve up incredible wood-fired pizza featuring regional-sourced ingredients, and their mac and cheese is the best-kept secret in town. And they're committed to giving back to the community and protecting the environment. So when it's time for takeout, keep it local with Local Pie, the official pizza sponsor of Loco Sports. Hey Loco Sports fans, does your business or organization need a new website or need help drawing more visitors to an existing site? DDS Web Design can make it happen. From simple HTML pages to get businesses online, to complex site designs with maximum functionality, DDS has services suited to every budget. And they love working with small businesses and entrepreneurs. They also build year-round maintenance into every package, so your website is always up to date. Check them out at ddswebdesign.com or call 843-931-8668 and tell them Loco sent you. Hey Loco Sports fans, are you looking to promote your business or organization? You can do it right here with a sponsorship of the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast, the Loco Hoops Report, or the Loco Pigskin Podcast. Rates start at a very affordable $50 a week to advertise your event, organization, or business, and reach a loyal, local audience that supports grassroots local sports journalism. Send us an email at locosports@gmail.com today to get started. Go Loco! All right, Wes, thanks so much to Coach Cave. He is trying to work it into his schedule for us this week, and we appreciate him taking a little time. And once again, you know, we got to get that rural broadband figured out so we can get these guys out in the outreaches, get them on here and have higher quality product for you guys. But great insight from Coach Cave, and you know, it's great to see Xavier Chaplin. I love the way he's approached this. He said from the start he was not signing during the early period. He wanted to wait and make sure that he made the best decision for himself, even though he committed early. And now you see really the benefit to that approach, because he's got a new coaching staff at Virginia Tech that he would like to further evaluate. And he's got some latecomers to the party who are interested to him. And Coach did not mention, but we talked about the other night, that he's next up for Georgia too. If they lose one more guy on their offensive line prospect chart, you know, he's the next guy up for an offer there. So still some opportunities for Xavier. I think he's going to land in a great situation. And like Coach said, I think he is a legitimate NFL prospect down the road, just because the size and athleticism is uncoachable, and he's got that foundation.
Yeah, he's an absolute freak out there on the football field. Just a remarkable athlete. He's got the size, the power in there to become a successful lineman on either the offensive or defensive side. Looking like he can tick on either role at this point. But you know, I really like his prospects going forward. I think he made the right approach in terms of taking his time to decide where he wants to go at the next level. Obviously, looking into Virginia Tech, but certainly keeping other options open. And Georgia could be a possibility. And so it could be a part of several different college football playoff teams from this past year, which is absolutely outstanding. So cannot wait to follow Xavier Chaplin and his career going forward. What an exceptional young man to watch. And this would be a good segue into the Blitz Border Bowl, Justin, because we just heard last night the both the offensive and the defensive starters for the Blitz Border Bowl. And man, it is looking absolutely stacked on both sides of the ball. Just your reactions from seeing a star-studded lineup here.
Excitement. That was my reaction. I mean, I was pumped when I started looking through that roster and thinking about all those guys that could be suiting up for Team Loco. A whole bunch of offensive linemen. I thought that was really interesting that they basically took, you know, two deep on the offensive line. And then you look at the backfield and you kind of get an idea why. It's kind of hard to put in a lot with the passing game in a short week of practice, you know, but that ground game can go in pretty quickly. And when you look at the running backs on that team, you start to see what maybe Bryce Labrin has in mind, because you've got Amari Morris, you've got Joseph Hicks, you've got Speedy Robinson, you've got Chase McCracken, you've got Jeremiah Dilbert, who might look pretty good in a I formation fullback situation. So there's a bunch of guys on that offense that are really exciting, and I'm pumped to see it. Playmakers at every level on the defense too. You know, you've got Brandon Howard in there, who's a leader of men, as well as Jackson Lanier. So I love the idea of seeing those guys on the same defense. Alvin Wilson and DJ Aiken and Matthew Larkby and Alvin Black, and I mean, bunch of dudes on that defensive line. The DBs are going to be great too, with Hunter Rass, Jaden Gilliam, Catman Risher signed up to play both ways, James Townsend, Jayon Allen. I mean, I just love the way this team shapes up. And then you've got Trevor Weldon too. So if you need a late field goal, you got the man who can hit from 50. So I love this team. I am pumped. I know the Coastal Empire team is going to be stacked too, but this is a really, really impressive roster. And I can't wait till January 15th.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, what a team is going to be. Absolutely stacked. Once again, great to have this game back after losing it in 2020-21 due to COVID-19 protocol. But, you know, Bryce Labrin, the head coach of this Team Loco, he is going to have so much fun with this group. And, man, this offense just absolutely stacked. And he gets his main man, of course, and Tyler Haley. But he also gets one of the most electric and, in my opinion, one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the entire state of South Carolina, in Jamian Risher. And talk about a dynamic duo under center. And if you haven't seen Risher play yet, man, just he is an absolute beast out there. Incredibly athletic, agile, electric runner, explosive, who could start down the field at will. But at the same time, you know, would have liked to maybe seen Bourbon Douglas as well. Obviously, Libra knows what he's doing. He's picking the best guys for his roster. But I'd like to have seen obviously there's not enough room for everyone, but you just, when you look at somebody who would have loved getting this opportunity and who deserved it, certainly Garvin Douglas comes to mind. And there are several players that you had to leave off because there's just so many strong, talented football players in the Loco. And just like we're doing for all Loco teams, it's hard to pick, put everyone in there. So, but I like decisions by Libra in terms of who he selected for this team. And that backfield, just amazing. Amari Morris is his very own. Of course, joined by Joseph Hicks of Whale Branch. You got Speedy Robinson, Jeremiah Dilbert. I mean, weapons galore out there. You have the quickness of Speedy Robinson, the power of Amari Morris. You got the explosiveness of Joseph Hicks. And just what an amazing backfield. You've got Chase McCracken, who was the workhorse back for Hilton Head High this past year, who was outstanding for the Seahawks. And just very well deserved for him. The wide receivers aren't as strong, but you still got some solid talents in Jaden Gilliam, Evan Elliott, both from Hilton Head High, James Turbo Townsend from Thomas Hayward. So he should have a role as well. So terrific quickness. So I really like the landscape of this offense. And then strong blockers up front too. I mean, led by Mr. Xavier Chaplin from Whale Branch and John Asher Howell. What a postseason he had for Beaufort High. Ryan Clark from Hilton Head, Chase Wilfong from Bluffton. Max Hickey and Samir Mitchell from Thomas Hayward. So some strong names up front on that list. And, you know, of course, Chaplin is the biggest name who's on his way, as we mentioned, to a top-tier D1 school. But, you know, so many possibilities for what Libran can incorporate with this offense, possibly an option-style offense with Risher. You got Hicks and Morris with Haley coming in on passing downs. And the defense is looking stacked as well. FIU DJ Aiken will lead this group alongside many others. Alvin Wilson, who is just a monster on the defensive line for Beaufort High. Caleb Tuchek, who had a great year at May River. You got Jake Rodney Brown. What a beast that he was for Hilton Head Prep. And then we get to see the Bulldog one more time in action. Jackson Lanier, the legendary Hilton Head Christian Academy star. Leading a strong linebacking core, in my opinion, alongside Brandon Butta Howard. So you got the 1A state champ and the 2A state champ right there together in Skeeza. And it's terrific that May River duo of Kate Carpenter and Cam Scott, who were both sensational this year for the Sharks. So going to be difficult to run on this Loco front, although Coastal Empire definitely has a strong crop of stars to oppose them on the offensive side. But, you know, those DBs are looking strong as well. You got Gian Allen, Nazir Chisholm, maybe a duo there. Hunter Rass, who had a great season for Beaufort High, important piece of that terrific defense down the stretch leading to the state championship game. And then you got the leg of the Loco in Trevor Weldon at kicker. I mean, this is a guy who can certainly come in handy. I've seen him bang a 50-yarder over there at Hilton Head Prep. I cannot wait to see him out there. Just one of the best kickers I've ever seen at the high school level. Trevor Weldon, and then this entire Loco team is looking phenomenal. I think they got a heck of a chance. You know, obviously, I'm not the biggest expert in terms of the Coastal Empire team. Obviously, Savannah has got some talented athletes as well, so I think it's going to be a great game. But looking at Team Loco, I mean, the backfield is tremendous, plus Risher on their center alongside Haley. So I think the one weakness could be at wide receiver, but I think if they can pick up some good chunks of yardage with those running backs and with that potential option offense, and use the athlete that they have at their disposal, I think they're capable of putting some points on the board. And that defense is tremendous at all levels, especially linebacker Lanier, Brandon Howard, Cade Carpenter. Man, that's a heck of a group. So going to be an awesome afternoon, January 15th. We'll have all the coverage for you. If you can't make it out to Savannah, going to be just an epic day for Loco football and Coastal Empire football as well. Blitz Border Bowl coming back in 2022.
Like you, I am not an expert in the Coastal Empire, but if you look at that roster, it is quite good. There are some names you'll recognize even if you didn't follow that closely. But I think they did, it looks like, rein in the Coastal Empire's geography a little bit, because it was a little out of whack as far as how far down they went and how far out they went. And it still is a little bit. They've got Statesboro in there, and they go down pretty south. Whereas, you know, really we're pretty limited to to Buford, Jasper, Colleton, although I don't think we have any players from Colleton this year, but a few from Dorchester County and Hampton County as well. So, you know, we're not going all the way up to Charleston like they're going down to Brunswick, but we've still got one win in three games, and maybe we can even it up at 2-2 this year. So should be a great game. WSAV does a fantastic job with that game, and you'll be able to catch it on TV if you can't make it in person. But it's been a terrific series, and I look forward to getting it back this year. It's going to be a lot of fun for everybody involved for sure. But let's move on from football for a little bit, Wes, and a little bit of recruiting news elsewhere, because Patrick Daly, baseball player from Buford, also known as PJ, committing to St. Andrews University, D2 up in North Carolina for baseball. And Patrick is a guy who was not really a huge part of what they did last year. You know, kind of he slid in there at times when certain guys were on the mound, but not an everyday guy, but somebody they're excited about and definitely going to play a key role this year for that new look team over at Buford High, and already committing to play at the next level. So great to see that for him, going to play for the Knights, a team that I got to see just about every year when I worked at USCB.
Right. St. Andrews, the Knights, a common opponent for the USCB Sand Sharks. Of course, USCB on their way up to the Peach Belt in Division II in the coming years. But, man, so proud of PJ. You know, it's always a big accomplishment, as we say, anytime one of our loco stars commits to join the next level. And Daly certainly deserving with spots on this St. Andrews roster. You know, the NAIA Knights up in North Carolina. They had a great season last year. They went 28-19. And, you know, Daly, I mean, he was a solid contributor at the plate last year, as well as being effective on the mound and helping lead that squad to a great playoff run to the Lower State Final. Certainly not the guy that had as much at-bats or innings compared to some others, but certainly someone who contributed to this team, and St. Andrews took notice of him and were impressed. And just an outstanding opportunity coming up here for PJ Daly. And, you know, if he takes advantage of this and puts in the work, you have to think he's got a shot to make a big impact with this school. And, you know, anytime one of our loco standouts earns a chance to play sports at the next level, it's worth celebrating. And we think that Daly will certainly make the most of it up there in Laurinburg.
Yeah, and it's a solid program, kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. They were D2, and then they dropped down to NAIA, had more success there, and have fit in pretty well into the mix. I mean, they're in a good spot for baseball. North Carolina, you know, you can play pretty well year-round, don't have the problems of having to travel south for 2 months to find grass to play on. So that's going to be a good spot for him. You can definitely develop at a place like that, and with, you know, with the NCAA situation kind of being what it is these days, you never know where another opportunity might come along if you show out there. So you always think you're going for 4 years, but you got to keep your options open. You never know what's going to happen. And if he gets a chance to really develop this year, you know, and show what he can do for the high school team, because obviously he's turning some heads, you know, in the travel ball ranks or somewhere to be able to get these offers. And then, you know, he could definitely see his stock rise this year, because he's going to be a big part of a young team trying to prove itself, and he'll get some opportunities to slot into key spots in the lineup there. So best of luck to Patrick or PJ Daly, and we look forward to seeing some Buford High baseball in the spring. And let's talk a little bit about wrestling, because wrestling is you know, in season right now, and we've got some great teams in the area. You could check out the Loco Wrestling Spotlight to see our hammers for the week, as well as some other guys who had big weeks and which teams are excelling. But Hilton Head High off to a great start, despite being a little shorthanded, and May River continues to do what May River does, which is just reload and coach guys up and continue to compete for championships week in and week out. They've already had a couple good showings as far as tournaments go, you know, team performances. And then we're going to get to see a great individual tournament at May River next week. They've got 32 teams lined up, most of them ranked in the top 10 in the state in their classifications, either in Georgia or South Carolina. It's going to be an epic battle over at May River in the tank, with a bunch of great wrestlers on the mat.
Oh man, that's going to be unbelievable. The Coastal Class was great, but this is going to be an even better display of wrestling. And what a week it was here locally as well. You know, some fantastic performances all around, leading up to what should be a huge week on the wrestling circuit here for the Lowcountry. And how about those Hilton Head Seahawks? A terrific win for Patrick Boulware and that Seahawks squad. They take down 5A Fort Dorchester in dominant fashion, 48-27. And that was with the Seahawks not even at full strength. I mean, they still find a way to get the job done. Really impressive depth that they built over the years, and a lot of that with the tremendous programs that they've done to really build up that pipeline and develop that talent. And, of course, Drew Vaya, the senior leader, getting it started with a pin, and then Sebastian Agnew, Darnell Bronner, and KJ Holland also picking up some pins. And, we've talked a lot about May River and what they have done and how they've become really the big power here in wrestling in the Lowcountry. But, you know, even after losing James Levy, I think the Seahawks are still looking great on the mat. And, you know, so much credit, as I mentioned, to Boo Ware and that entire coaching staff and the programs they've done to build up those wrestlers. So really excited for the Seahawk wrestling team. And we haven't even seen much of Zayo Estrada yet, who's been ranked nationally as one of the best girls in the entire country in wrestling, and certainly has the talent to win a state title, boys and girls, here for Hilton Head High. So really excited to see Zayo get on the mat this year. And of course, the Mayor of Sharks are still taking care of business, and they took a third place, a tremendous job out of 28 teams at the Hanahan Hawk Invitational. Isaiah Weissong, EJ Seaman, Santiago Rueda, and Gabe Horace just mowing down the competition, winning individual titles. So this Shark team, they're looking like the class of not just the area, but I think of the lower state possibly as well, looking to get back to that state title match later this winter sports season. So, man, I'm looking forward to that Seahawks-Shark rivalry. That's going to be something special. And let's give some love to the JP2 Golden Warriors as well. They are mowing down the competition too. You know, they just picked up 16 wins out of 17 matchups this past week. So nearly a perfect victory for them. And they swept Colleton Prep and they swept Bridges Prep. Daniel Snyder, Archer DeWig, William Rooney, Jack Brock, and Cole Woodham, each with two pins in both matches. So we got some special wrestling talent here in the Lowcountry when you look at both on the South Carolina High School League and the skis aside for what JP2 is doing. Thomas Hayward building up the program as well. You got to like what Neil Nutter's doing at Bluffton, and Buford High certainly on the climb as well. So I love how wrestling landscape is shaping up here in the Loco. And we got some amazing talent coming here to the Lowcountry for a really special tournament, the May River Shark Invitational. And if you thought the Coastal Clash was stacked a few weeks ago, wait until you see the field for this one. 32 quality teams from across the East Coast, including 10 teams that are ranked in the top 10 in their classifications in either South Carolina or Georgia. And another 8 ranked inside the top 20. So, it's going to be a gauntlet of a bracket coming up here. It should be some outstanding wrestling to watch here over the holidays.
Yeah, no question. I also got a couple of teams from North Carolina and Pennsylvania, and one of those teams from Georgia is Camden County, and they're like a dynasty in Georgia 7A. So there's going to be some outstanding wrestling, like I said, in the spotlight. If you're a wrestling fan or if you're just wrestling curious and you want to see it at the highest level, just about that you can see it around here, that's going to be a place to do it over at May River High School, December 29th and 30th, and we'll have some coverage of that on locosports.com so you don't miss it. Make sure that you check out the website daily. We just redesigned it. It's looking great, much more engaging, lots more art and looking really good. I'm really happy with how it turned out. So check it out. Drop us a note. Let us know what you think of it, good or bad. If you see something that needs to be changed, please let us know and we'll get it fixed as soon as we can. But love that website right now. Let's talk a little bit about weightlifting, Wes, because it doesn't come up all that often. But when it does, we're talking about guys competing on the world stage. And this is a name we haven't mentioned in a minute, but Dade Stanley, you know, he graduated from Buford High, went off to Clemson, and we kind of lost track of him, but he has resumed his training. He has gotten back up to the level he was at before, and he has qualified for the Junior World Championships on Team USA. Going to go to Greece in May, and I'm just so happy to see Dade lifting again and to see him continue to have the success that he's had over the years working with Ray Jones.
Yeah, what an honor for Dade Stanley, who has been a national star on the weightlifting circuit in the past few years, and now he's going to get his opportunity to represent our country in the Junior World Championships. And just an amazing accomplishment. Speaks to the testament and the work ethic that he has developed over the years from all the way back at Buford High School. And he's going to be heading to Greece, as he mentioned, in May to compete with the best in the world. So, you know, this is not much of a surprise. You know, he has been on track to really earn this opportunity through the work that he's put in, and had a big summer at the national championship recently. I believe last year he claimed the junior national title. He went 5 for 6 on the day. And, you know, talk about just being heads and shoulders above the competition. He opened up his snatch at 127 kilograms, which was 12 more than any competitor's third attempt. So that's just remarkable. And, you know, absolutely dominant performance. He's a former double American youth world record holder. And he's on track to do some big things and following the footsteps of CJ Cummings, who we just saw compete in the Tokyo Olympics this past summer. So could see another future Olympian from right here in our neck of the woods. So the future in the sport down here, it couldn't be more brighter. You know, I'm sure our good friend Bracken Lambert, I'm sure he can agree with that as well. He's been doing some great work in building the weightlifting talent. And so I'm really excited to see what will happen with this weightlifting sport in the years to come here over in the Loco. And I just love watching the sport, you know, the training, the work ethic that goes into this, and the grit that it takes to make the climb all the way to the highest level. That's maybe the toughest in all of sports. So it's one of the most demanding sports, and certainly you got to put in the work from day one. And certainly we've seen what CJ Cummings and what now Dade Stanley have done to continue to get better and reach kind of the pinnacle of their sport or go towards that further. So I'm really impressed by both of CJ and Dade and what they have done in recent years. And they've been incredible ambassadors for our community, you know, through the sport. And I just think it may just be a matter of time before we see somebody to bring an Olympic medal right down here to the Loco.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought this was going to be the year with CJ, yeah. You know, I did. But from my understanding, you know, he had some trouble keeping his weight, you know, staying in his weight class and had to cut a little bit of weight at the end. And that really just saps your strength. You know, you just don't have that same strength that he's used to. So, you know, it was tough for him, tough timing. I think he was just kind of a tweener weight class wise at the wrong time. And now he's going to have to kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out what comes next for him, but certainly still just getting started so young relatively speaking in the weightlifting world. And Dade looks like the next man up, you know, and has for a while. He's been a guy who's been kind of just a half step below CJ for quite some time now and doing a lot of the same things that CJ did as far as winning the same title. So, you know, I can't wait to see how that develops for him. He's got just inordinate strength and clearly a terrific work ethic and is a great kid. So certainly rooting for him to keep it going. And maybe we'll see that Olympic medal come back to the Loco for the first time since Joe Frazier one of these days. But all right, Wes, well, only one thing left to do before we break for the holidays, and that's to pick our teams of the week. And I always give you the first crack at it. And I have a feeling you're going to take my team from me, but let's see. Who's your team of the week?
I'm going to go to the basketball court, and I'm going to take the Battery Creek Girls Dolphins basketball team. And just what a week it's been for this Battery Creek team. I mean, they have found their game going into the holiday break, and they're playing some terrific ball and picking up wins over Wade Hampton, Buford High, Whale Branch, all on the road. And, you know, it hasn't just been one star. It's been a couple. Kiara Wilson is a talented guard who really has done a spectacular job as the floor general. But then you got Ashante Shaw, who's really been a great scorer at forward. And then you got Sophia Felix and Genesis Wilson, just a freshman. So they've really stepped up on both ends and really impressed by what they're doing down there and what Lonnie Klutz has been doing, building up this squad. And, you know, I think this is just the beginning for Battery Creek girls basketball, and just so many young and talented contributors who will be around for the next few years. So I think they're really finding something here at Battery Creek, and I think they should keep this rolling right into region play. And as they say, Creek is certainly on the rise here at Girls Hoops.
Yeah, I agree. That was not my pick, but it's a great pick. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with that team the other night. As I said on the Hoops podcast, I think they're a team to watch in region play. You know, the one loss that was by double digits was to East Clarendon and Talaysia Cooper that, you know, is probably going to be a state championship contender. So I like that team. I love the veteran guard play. Kiara Wilson is a great leader. Ashanti Shaw is a problem inside. And then they've got some nice players who can fill key roles. So I like that team a lot, but my pick is one of our darlings here at Loco Sports right now, at least the Buford Academy boys, because they won another tournament title. They're 2-for-2 now. They won the BAA Classic earlier in the year. They took the Cougar Classic this week, won a tough game with Hanahan, got up by double digits and held off the Hawks for a 9-point win, and then just blew out Branchville. They were up 30-1 before they called off the dogs and just let the subs take most of the rest of the game. But Amarion Wilson, the freshman big that we keep talking about, tournament MVP. Sully Gay had numbers that could have been tournament MVP worthy. Braden Dineen doing his thing. Zeke Gonzalez is a stat sheet stuffer who is pass first at point guard. So I love the chemistry of that team. As I've said many times, I love Nick Fields' we want to deserve to win philosophy because I firmly believe in controlling what you can control and letting go of the rest. And if they play with the attitude and energy and effort to deserve to win, then, you know, the results will take care of themselves. And when you don't win, it won't be because you didn't deserve to. So I love the way they're playing. I love their attitude and their chemistry. And I'm looking forward to seeing them get into region play. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how they stack up against some of those teams in Skeezer, in the Skeezer region.
Yeah, it should be great when we get into region play in just a couple of days as we head into January. But man, they have just been racking up the wins, over double digit wins already. And we're just now at Christmas, which is amazing start for this Buford Academy boys program. And we have been singing their praises a lot, both here and on the Loco Hoop Support. Just an amazing start, especially for Amarion Wilson. But when you look at what Sully Gay, the contributions that he has made, Zeke Gonzalez as well. So, man, I just cannot wait to see them in action. I haven't seen them live yet, but, man, they're just racking up those trophies left and right, and I think they have a chance at another one potentially before the end of the year. So, man, Nick Field is doing something special, really instilled that mentality that we're going to do whatever it takes to get the job done and pick up the win, and they have shown that day in and day out here on the court in that practice and during games. So congratulations on just an exceptional start for BA boys basketball, and cannot wait to see what they do as we get into region play in January.
Yeah, I've joked with Nick. I think he's trying to be the fastest coach ever to 100 wins or something, because he's scheduling crazy out here trying to get all these games in. But no, they're looking good, and it's been a great season thus far. And you know, we had a great year here at Loco Sports, over 300,000 page views for the first time. And we really appreciate all the support from the local sports fans who recognize the value of what we do and try to do their part to support us. So we appreciate y'all, and you know, happy holidays to everybody. Happy holidays to you, Wes. I know it's a great time for me to be able to slow down a little bit and spend time with family, and we'll be back in a few days and start firing it up again. We'll have some all Loco teams coming out. Lots of great stuff coming from Loco Sports. But enjoy this time with your friends and families, and have some happy holidays. And you do the same, Wes.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful year here at Loco Sports, and just so blessed, you know, still in the midst of this ongoing pandemic that we are still not out of just yet, but to have the opportunity to cover sports during several different hardships during these times and shine a light on our incredible student athletes who are working so hard that put together such memorable seasons and all fall, winter, and spring sports. And we congratulate each and every one of them, and we cannot wait for what 2022 has in store. And just wanted to wish all our listeners a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, and may you have a joyous time with friends and family. So Merry Christmas from all of us here at LocoSports.com.
Couldn't say it better than that, Wes. That's going to do it for this episode of the Loco Sports Lowdown. You can find it on YouTube. If you want the video version, subscribe over there and you'll get a notification when we post a new episode. Or you can always find the audio version wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to the Loco Sports Lowdown, the Loco Pigskin Podcast, and the Loco Hoops Report, so you'll never fall behind on all the local sports news from the South Carolina Lowcountry. That's going to do it for this one. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and until next time, go Loco.